In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus said, I go to awaken him. A funeral, a cemetery, these are hard places to confess. Every coffin, every headstone is seemingly yet another meadow where death seemingly smiles and says, I've won again. It's no wonder then that our culture tries so hard these days to cover up death, to amuse, to laugh, and mindlessly celebrate life right into the grave. For it's not a hearse, but it's a vehicle. It's not died, it's passed away or passed on. It's not a funeral, but it's a celebration of life. We love to play hide and go seek with death. I'm not listening. I got my fingers in my ears. But again, you can put all the makeup you want on death. You can try and hide from death. But it's still death, and it will still always find you. For Lazarus did not kick the bucket. He didn't croak. He didn't bite the dust. He didn't pass away, and he didn't buy the great farm in heaven. Jesus calls it like it is. Lazarus has died. For the historian, death is the point at which the biography reaches its end. For the scientist or the biologist, it's a process of nature, the circle of life. But for us Christians, it is a result of sin. It is the moment in which God's judgment comes upon us and is complete. Death is that last nail in the coffin of old Adam, of his apparent control and autonomy. Oh, you thought you were in control. How about now? For us, there is no such thing as death by natural causes. Death is about as unnatural as it gets. For God created us for life, only life, never death. Illness doesn't lead to death. It is for the glory of God that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Alas, I don't get it, and I don't want to. And I don't get Jesus either. When you look at Jesus in the Gospels, and you see Jesus' funeral etiquette, you will find nothing politically correct or formulary about his presence or lack thereof. Jesus was Lazarus' friend, right? But when a friend dies, what do? You normally drop everything and you go and you pay your respects. Not Jesus. He slept in the house. He ate at their table. He was loved and served by Lazarus and Mary and Martha as a friend and a guest. And now he shows up 4 days late. And he's got no reason to offer. I mean, how rude. He wasn't there when Mary and Martha needed him to speak a few words about how much Lazarus meant to him or what such a good person Lazarus was. He wasn't there to assist in carrying the coffin to the grave as a pallbearer. He wasn't there to comfort anyone whom Lazarus had left behind, particularly his sisters. I mean, of all the people that show up, I can only imagine how many times Mary and Martha looked around and then looked at each other and said, where's Jesus? Why did he come? Sometimes at the most crucial times in our life, Jesus appears to be painfully absent. Jesus finally does show up. 4 days late. But then he has the audacity to ask to go to the burial place. You can now imagine Mary and Martha's response to this one. Their sadness, their anger that he's finally now here and now he wants to go see the burial place. Sometimes at funerals, you know, you just keep your mouth shut. It's a funeral, after all. It's not a place to air the family's dirty laundry, a place for arguments, a place for conflict. Not Martha. Not Martha. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, why didn't you come? Why didn't you show up? Why weren't you here when we needed you? She let Jesus have it with both barrels. Even stranger is Jesus' behavior at the grave site. Not often do we see in our life grown men cry. There are likely men in our lives that we've never seen cry. Death apparently is some sort of exception that makes men cry. And to see Jesus cry, who not only is man but true God, with Father and Holy Spirit who created the heavens and the earth, what would that have been like? And if Lazarus had meant so much to Jesus, why hadn't he rushed to Lazarus' side? The tension we see in Jesus is the very tension in ourselves, to some extent, when we meet death. Jesus says that he knew his Father would hear him and listen to him and that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet he weeps at the sight of death, at the loss, at the destruction that it brings. Here Jesus stands in front of the stone and he sobs and he screams and he yells. Every time I look into a dying man's face, every time I see that sullen stream of death roll over the creature of God, I don't know about you, but I hate death, and I wish it would go to hell. I wish it would go away. But then, having exhausted all of his strangeness, Jesus does one more better than that. Jesus wants to see Lazarus. You want to do what? Mary Martha probably replied, yes, you heard me right, Mary Martha. I want to see Lazarus. I want you to unearth Lazarus. Well, Jesus, if you had been here and you wanted to see him, why didn't you show up at the funeral? I mean, this is too much for us, Jesus. We've already paid the funeral people. We've already paid for the luncheon. Everything is all done. The funeral bill is paid. Lazarus is already buried in the cave. The stone is sealed. His grave. Who are you now to ask us to unearth our dead brother? And yet for Jesus, they open the tomb. Lazarus, friend, come out. And by that word, he came out wrapped in his burial cloths. And then Jesus again speaks a word. Unbind him, let him go. I don't know if you've ever thought about the days following the resurrection of Lazarus. But I was wondering about that this week. I was wondering about the days after Lazarus' death and resurrection, and particularly how it was that Martha got along. I mean, her internal conversation must have maybe sounded like this. I swore on that day we anointed my brother with myrrh and aloes and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in this cave. But Lazarus has not died. I repeated it moments before Jesus arrived 4 days later. Lazarus has not died. Everything I said I wanted to believe, and if I said it enough, wouldn't I believe it, right? And yet here, still, after all the people have gone, and the stale air of the tombs and of the bones and the memories and the remembering of the past and the strange and this miracle that occurred and the last words that I spoke with Jesus, I still yet am but a pillar of doubt and fear. I believe Jesus would come to Bethany, and eventually he did. I believe that Jesus could beckon my brother back from the dead, and amazingly he did. All that I believed, and more. I believed in God, I believed in His holy commandments, I believed in His word, I believed in His sacraments, I believe in Him. But the problem is that I don't believe in myself to believe these things. So then I wonder, do I believe? I mean, Lazarus lives, but he will die again someday. There will be a final breath. Mary, younger, but so much wiser than I, she will also die, and someday there will be a final breath for her as well. And there will be a final breath for me. But, you know, they seem ready to die. I mean, Lazarus, who had the gift of silence, and he listened as a child, and he doesn't seem to fear death. Mary, who long ago learned the gift of asking the right questions and sitting at the feet of Jesus, I mean, she doesn't fear death, but I do. How has my life mattered? Like those before me, I cook, I clean, I mend, I tidy, I sweep, I bake, I do 1,000 chores to keep a household running. I like serving others. I like loving other people through deeds of service. But I want everything to stay the same. I want Lazarus to praise my soup, and I want Mary to vow that she'll set the table while she's asking a million questions, like how does the leaven work, and why does it rain, and where does the sun go at night, and all these other questions. I want nothing to change, but yet it already has. Like this tomb, filled, now empty, but only to be filled yet again. You see, with change and decay and all the brokenness of our life, Jesus stands there, this unusual mourner, grieving, yet granting grace as he says, "Look, I go to make all things new." For there is one last funeral, if you will, that Jesus attended, his own. He who wept at the death of his friend Lazarus would embrace death, the friend of all sinners. He died where he saw his mother weeping his very death. The throes of death crashed down upon him, and he felt the stroke of God's deepest judgment, the justice, the sting of sin, and the wages of death that come forth from sin, and his body, yet full of life, was stilled in death. There God died for all humanity. There Jesus bound in death all so that he could unbind us in our death. Because Jesus depends on God and his word, he hopes, contrary to the experience of death, that God will save him in his own inconceivable way. Not from death, but through death. And so it was 3 days later. Death was stripped of all its power, and only life remained. Jesus lives. He's been resurrected from the dead. The glory of God is manifest in the Son, who makes all things new which once were dead. Jesus stands between us and the cemetery. In the deaths that we face in our life, he has words to speak. Yes, they are strange words. Yes, they are uncustomary words. But they are words that give hope for us to carry on even when a baby step is difficult to take. They are words that speak forgiveness to us. They are words that do what nothing else on earth can do. They are words with the power, literally the dynamite, to burst and blast open our tombs of death, unbinding us and letting us go as Lazarus is unto eternal life. You know, Jesus, that unusual mourner, still comes to the cemeteries, for where that place is very difficult to confess. He comes again to speak His word. And in spite of what we see, we believe in His word. In the midst of death, we hang our entire life on His word. His promise, never broken. In the swells of our grief, we have hope. For Jesus died and rose again, and so will He keep with Him all who have fallen asleep in Him. St. Augustine confesses beautifully, "I am just as certain that I will rise from the bed of death as I am that I will wake tomorrow morning after a peaceful night in a bed of sleep." When we die, we wake face to face with Christ, the resurrected Lord. So Jesus says to you, "I stand between you and the cemetery. I am the resurrection and the life. You cannot go any further, but I can, and I will go there. For you I will die so that you can have my life in my death. For my death has destroyed your death. In me, death is not what you see it to be. It is a slumber, it is a sleep, it is a bed of rest until I awaken you." So we bury our dead face up, faces to the skies. Even with closed eyes, their ears eagerly await for their Savior's voice, as we all do. Here, even the dead wait for Jesus' voice. For Jesus will not let death have your husbands, your wives, your sons, your daughters, your friends, your loved ones. He will not let the grave have you either. This is His promise, that He will have you. This is His gift. In the name of Jesus, amen.